Remix. Rewind.
This is the remix.
No, this is the rewind.
What is up, y'all? It is the one and only Jasmine J.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Jay Levine.
And it's your girl, Jada Kalise.
And this is
Remix and Rewind.
And if you're new here, this is the place where we introduce you to new music, artists, theories, and ways to connect your real life to the music you listen to. Now, for today's episode, we're getting into a conversation that's been floating around a lot lately surrounding Jack Harlow and his recent comments surrounding his new album, Monica, and using that to unpack a bigger conversation around the idea of culture vultures. So in an interview with Popcast, Jack Harlow made a comment when referencing his choice to go into R&B for his new album, saying he got blacker. And people were not happy with his choice of words. Now, what do y'all think?
I feel like those were a very odd choice of words to use as a white man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
I also think that people will say, well, he didn't mean it that way. But I feel like
action overrides intention.
Action overrides intention. So it's like, it already kind of shows that he's like way comfortable. Because in what scenario would that be okay to be
okay
like,
to say.
Oh yeah, like I'm black. And he's also saying this in a room with two white men. Yeah.
I think for me, my thoughts, I understand what the conversation was supposed to be.
Same.
But I think that the verbiage around it changed it. Mm-hmm. Like, he was trying to say that I went deeper into a realm that people didn't expect me to go into, which is like, you know, a more historically African-American sound rather than retreating back into a safe white space for his music. But however, when you say I got blacker,
it just
ruins the entire message.
It diminishes everything that you just said. And I do want to bring up a comment that was said on that Instagram clip. Just like Jarrett just said, the framing of the clip is what's driving the engagement, but they're actually addressing things black folks have been calling out for years, dipping into black culture and aesthetics, monetizing it, then leaving when it's convenient while he's doubling down. While I do understand that, and the conversation could have went way better than it did, mm-hmm. and we could have maybe accepted it. It could have been way better than what it was.
Yeah.
But for you of all people to say something like that, and the album name itself, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, because a lot of people were saying, like, why would he name it Monica? Then when he's asked about, like, who was Monica? Like, what's the name?
I just love the name Monica.
Yeah, like,
why? Because we know what it's close to saying.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people are saying.
Like, come on now. Let's be for real.
Oh, wait, y'all. I'm so airheaded. I just caught it when you said it.
Like,
oh,
we know
crazy.
What it's close to saying. But you know what? I'm pretty sure you don't know any Monicas, Jack. But
yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Somebody else in the comments also said his reference to my white counterparts raises questions. Does he not identify with them? This othering is concerning. In my view, it highlights the need for discussions on gatekeeping within the black community. When we condone these behaviors, they snowball into larger issues. The disrespect is palpable and intentional. This is also why I don't support Bruno Mars. The pattern of culture erasure and white individuals is troubling. We must challenge these actions and reclaim our narrative.
Now, how Bruno got into it?
I don't know how Bruno got into it, but I think it's very interesting that he did, like, also, like I said, the verbiage and framing of your words is so important. Words hold so much power.
Right.
Because you're saying my white counterparts as if, like, you're not the white counterpart. Like, you are the white counterpart, boo. I'm sorry. I don't know who told you that you weren't, but you are a black person's white counterpart.
And I do like that comment because it kind of goes into, we really got to stop saying you're invited to the cookout.
Yes.
We as black people have to stop saying that. Just because Johnny hit a little cool 1-2 or Johnny can do a little cute freestyle don't mean he got to be invited to the cookout. Johnny not making my potato salad.
Mind you, at this point, I think there's more white people at the cookout than there's black people.
Hello?
Especially because they the ones that's going to show up on time. I hate to say it, but, you know, we're going to be late. So if we come to the cookout at 4, they're going to be there at 2, and it's just nothing but, you know, Caucasians at the cookout for the first 2 hours, and I don't like that.
But I want to talk about Bruno Mars now because I'm very confused on why Bruno is in it. I don't think Bruno profits off of black culture in a bad way. I feel like he's always been making music like that, if anything.
He's always been influenced by that type of music, and it'd be different if he's, like, changing his sound, which is, like, I don't know. I feel like Bruno has obviously given credit. He's constantly collaborating with black artists. Mm-hmm. He's constantly platforming black artists. So to say Bruno is kind of crazy, I feel like that's a crazy pull. Also, thought Bruno was black until, like, 2 years ago.
So did I. So did I.
Like, so I don't know. That.
He's actually Hawaiian, Filipino, Puerto Rican, and Jewish.
No black, not an ounce.
No black in there, but there's so much of a melting pot in that. And he's also from Hawaii, which is also a place where a lot of different cultures are from. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, I don't want to give him a pass or say that he's not a culture vulture or whatever the case may be, because I haven't done, you know, the appropriate research. But I will say, looking at his background ethnically, he has more room to be like, I want to explore different cultures' music,
right,
than maybe somebody like a Jack Harlow.
Right, because I feel like he's been very versatile and he hasn't just been in an R&B thing. I feel like the most R&B we got from him was Silk Sonic.
Yeah,
that might have been the most.
I definitely feel like he's somebody who
he can do
flows
pop
in and out of genres.
Yes,
almost like a Beyonce, almost like a Ariana. You know, like I don't see him as somebody who, oh, I want to profit off of black sounds.
Mm-hmm.
I see him as somebody who, you know, shapeshifts,
mm-hmm,
which is his own conversation. But yeah, I don't see it the same way. But back to the Jack Harlow thing, I really do want to pinpoint that because I didn't think about that until I read the comment. He definitely said my white counterparts.
Yeah, that is insane.
A counterpart is somebody who is a parallel to you.
Mm-hmm.
You are that thing.
Y'all don't think that maybe he's saying like my white counterparts that have chosen to use black music and then pivot into something else? Like maybe that's what he meant by that phrase?
No, I know what he meant by it, but it's the phrasing shows where he thinks he stands.
Right, like he's different than...
that you're black?
Yeah, or like, do you feel like you're other?
I'm sorry, the outfit he had on in that little music video clip I saw, he was dressed like Life Jennings. Like, what you got on? Like, I was confused.
Watch out.
Life Jennings.
Like, it definitely felt a little cosplay. I'm not going to yai. But yeah. I will say, I feel like definitely his wording could have been better. I do think in general, though, Jack Harlow has been doing rap. Like, it's not like he's, like, just doing it like a Post Malone who had cornrows and then next thing you know, he doing country, you got boots on. Like, okay, boots on the ground, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that was his point. That really was his point. And I don't want to take away from that being his point.
Yeah.
And him saying, like, this is not... I think what he was trying to say is, this is not a gimmick for me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This is the music that I love and this is the music that I choose to create. I think that's what he's trying to say, but it just didn't land because of his verbiage.
And it was overshadowed.
And
that.
I appreciate his message because what he's saying is he feels like other white artists dip into black music for a little bit and then do what they actually wanted to do or do what's more profitable, which is a more Caucasian or palatable sound. And he's not doing that. He actually is getting deeper into what he already started, which is controversial in itself. But I can applaud somebody for feeling like they're going against the grain and being true to themselves,
right,
even if it might rub some other people the wrong way. If he genuinely feels like he's being true to himself, then I can applaud that. But you also have to understand what comes with that choice and also respect that choice and respect the people who you're trying to make music for at the end of the day.
Granted, that is a conversation that needs to be had, but I don't think three white men should have had that conversation.
Of course not.
I was just about to say, I also think like the way he was just talking in the interview gave that he was the black one explaining something to white people. Like, you know what I mean? Mm. Like, it gave, like, he thought he was the black person or the black spokesperson, which I feel like shows kind of like his comfortability. But I think that happens a lot with white men who hang around a lot of black men, because sometimes black men give them the idea that you're one of us, you might as well be. And so they get into this position where they really think I'm one of y'all. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of, when you do that, you lack a lot of discretion about how you navigate a lot of topics, because the term I got blacker, like I said earlier, would not have came out of his mouth if he didn't feel comfortable saying it.
Yeah, I definitely think like the I got blacker, the my white counterparts,
mm-hmm,
all of that shows you where he thinks he falls on the diaspora. He might not think he's black, but he daggone sure don't think that he's just a regular Joe white man either.
Yeah.
He feels othered. Like, you can tell from his verbiage that he feels like a other. He feels like almost, I don't want to speak for him, so let me not say that, but that's what it gave from that clip. Like, he don't feel like he's just a regular white man, but he also probably, he knows he ain't black, but he probably don't feel like a regular white man. And I think that that is an interesting layer to peel.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that didn't give Jack boo, that gave Jackie. So that is what it is. But I do want to piggyback off of what you had said, Jay LaVon, about, you know, white people shape-shifting, or how we talked about, you know, Bruno Mars being able to flow in and out and dip in and out of the genre. One of the people that comes to mind, I feel like I always bring this girl up, but Ariana Grande. Like,
yeah,
she definitely is a shape-shifter. She can do the pop. She can do R&B influence things. She can do this and she can do that. But never has it been a thing where she completely abandoned one genre to do another.
Yeah. And sometimes I wish that she would have. I really want that deep R&B Arianka album. I do. Like, I want her to work with Tim. I want her to work with, what's that man name?
Who?
Summer Walker's guy.
London on the track.
I want her to work with...
London on the track.
Like, I want her to go deep and go crazy, but I know that that'll be controversial. And I think a lot of people have accused her of blackfishing. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not gonna lie, y'all. I did see some videos on social media about back around, like, 2019, when my homegirl had them big sweaters and them high ponies.
No, right.
She was like, bruh.
Her video.
What y'all talking about?
World. Her voice did change. And also, but I don't even know if she was blackfishing. I think she was Victoria Monet fishing, because she was really like, have y'all seen that side-by-side clip of Victoria Monet talking and then Ariana talking during that same era? Like, she literally like, and even with the Cynthia Erivo era, I think she really is just like reflects the people she's around, but to an extreme. It's kind of actually kind of crazy.
Like I said last episode about her, me and you both agree, Jasmine, that she can adapt to whatever environment she's in.
Mm-hmm. 1,000%.
So that's how I feel about that situation specifically.
And also the people she was dating at the time too. Mm. Lil Sean, Mac Miller, like
the big Sean era.
The people that she was dating, if her friends have that much influence on her, the people that she dates have that much influence on her. And I think that there's nothing wrong with dating somebody outside of your race. And anybody that you're in love with, you're going to take things from them because you love them. Mm-hmm. That's just the way humans work. Which is why I feel like it's very interesting when she comes up, because it feels, for some reason, it just feels more authentic when it's her.
Agreed.
Versus other people. But Jasmine's making a face, so I want to hear what she has to say.
Oh, I was going to say, I kind of agree and disagree. Because I feel like I also think it's a problem when artists use black music to break into or break out of a mold. And I feel like Ariana definitely used black music to break out of her little, you know, Nickelodeon era, her young days. And I feel like she, especially now, that fact that she hasn't really revisited it, I don't really see how she's that different than a Miley Cyrus kind of doing the same thing. I think because her music is really good, we sometimes are like, oh, she's a kind of an exception. But she's really not, because she literally just stopped dating black men and stop making that type of music, and is now in this little cute little prissy, you know, tiny little voice era.
We'll play devil's advocate.
Okay.
Because from her Nickelodeon era came her first album, which was Yours Truly. And she already was working with like Babyface, Leon Thomas, and you know, those people were writing her songs and they get the credit. And she always says she's influenced by Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey. Like, she's always said who she's been inspired by, and it's always been the same people. Like, it's always the same people. So I don't think she necessarily went into that route, that R&B influence route, when she first came out to break out of a Nickelodeon mold. And I also think that she still did continue to make R&B influence music when her and Big Sean had broken up. The album Positions and Eternal Sunshine, there are still R&B influence tracks. The whole album may not be R&B influence, but she's never been the type of person to go full R&B. She'll have a couple of tracks here and there. But
I want to bring up someone else that I see has a lot of similarities with Ariana, and that's Christina Aguilera. So I think even more so than Ariana, Christina Aguilera had that whole like dirty phase.
Definitely.
When she broke out of her little girl era.
Xtina,
and that's when we got Xtina, that's when we got Dirty, that's when we got Can't Hold Us Down with Lil' Kim. Like, she was in her oats, I ain't gonna lie. And you could say that, you know, she was doing a little bit of blackfishing. But then her next album, Back to Basics, she gave homage to so many black artists, Aretha, Minnie Riperton, like so many black influential artists to her, and she made a sound that really was almost Motown-esque. And as a white Latina person, you would be like, oh, why would you do that? But it's just her being true to who she looks up to in the industry, and it's just a sound that brought her to where she is in her career. So I think that it almost was like damage control from her to go from that dirty era where it's like you got all these rappers on your album to then being like, wait, hold on, y'all, I'm not just using them for a gimmick. This is the music that I actually love and has brought me to this place. And I see a lot of similarities between that and Ariana versus someone who just is like, oh, I like black people, let me just take what they got real quick and then go back to my pop.
Yeah, I feel like, okay, Ariana definitely was can be influenced by the people, but girl, you was literally on live talking about something, get in here, Naomi, and she don't talk like that no more. So it's like, it's hard for me to be like, oh, like, she's not really doing that, because she kind of was.
I say, personally, aside from music aside, I will say that when it comes to her personality and her turning it on and off, I see what you're saying there.
Yeah.
But, like, music is, like, if we're talking straight music, music, I don't agree on that end. But personality wise, I agree with you.
I would have to like go through her whole entire discography to like
see what we're talking about.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, I feel like she, as of now, but I can only really go based on her personal life, because her personal life be overshadowing her music sometimes, no shade. But yeah, I feel like she's one of them people, in my opinion.
But somebody that you did bring up that I feel like 1,000% was on that culture vulture, Miss Miley.
Miss Miley. Miss 23.
Miley, girl, what did you talk about?
Miss Wrecking Ball.
I'm up in the
That's definitely someone who did it to break out of that Disney, that Disney mold. Even though I feel like, wait, actually, go to her discography real fast, because I want to know what the transition was. Well, I need to know this album order.
So we go from her Disney stuff.
2010. She came back 3 years later to do Bangers.
Bangers, boy. Bangers.
With the, what cut was that? Was that not a pixie? That's a pixie cut she had?
I don't know. What kind of, the Bieber cut?
Like, yeah, I don't know what that was.
She came in 3 years later to break out of that. She just wanted to be rebellious. That's what it was.
Yeah.
I see Nelly on here. I see Future, Big Sean, French Montana.
What are you doing working with
and Ludacris?
But it's also
all on one album.
It's upsetting because it's like, why do you see rebellion as black? Why do you see black people as a way to rebel? And even her, I'm trying to think of her music, like Wrecking Ball, those aren't really black songs, but it is just the way she was carrying herself during that time. And then 23, of course, like that
was
you
insane.
And your J's queen.
Not yeah, J's, like come on, like, bro. I ain't never seen you wear Jordans a day in my life. Let's talk about her 2013 MTV VMAs performance.
That's literally what I was about to bring up.
That was nasty.
That was nasty, girl. You half naked, shaking your butt
on Robin Thicke.
That's another one we're going to get into, mind you. You're shaking your butt, popping your twat all over the, what is it, VMAs? Or MTV?
VMAs.
All over the VMAs, nastily.
Tongue out. Raunchy. Just raunchy.
And you know what the stereotype of that was? That's what ghetto black girls do.
I was just about to say, I can't even say you trying to be black. You trying to be a character of black women. Mm-hmm. That's what it was giving. And that era in general was just, it's also crazy because she pivoted quickly with the quickness. Because she, after that, was her next album was?
Her next album was,
because I remember a song from it.
Miley Cyrus and Dead Pet.
Oh, I don't even remember that.
Is there one after?
Younger Now. She got a feature with Dolly Parton, girl. Like,
see, that's when she started to get in her country bag. It was like, queen, you could have been doing country. Why did you feel the need to start acting like this character of black people in order to break out of your mold? And I feel like that's just very, like, that's when you lean into the appropriation era. But it's like, not, I can't even call that appropriation because I don't even know what that is.
And it's also like, outside of black people being rebellious, it's also like, why do you see the black woman aesthetic as grown? Also,
yeah,
and that also bothers me, just knowing how hard it is for black girls to be girls, because everything that a black female does is seen as grown woman,
right?
Why do you need to emulate black women to show people that you're grown? That I don't like that. Like, there are black young girls too that are bubblegum pop or bubblegum R&B. Like,
right,
it's okay to be a young black girl, and as soon as you want to be grown, you don't got to be black, boo. Be a grown white woman,
literally.
So yeah, the VMA performance leads me back into that Robin Thicke bag. Robin Thicke, to me, I've never really heard him do any other sound other than
me neither.
Something that was akin to African Americanness. I am not gonna lie, girl. I ain't never heard no pop music from that man. I ain't never heard no folk, no country. I only heard R&B with a rapper on it, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Do y'all consider Robin Thicke as being a culture vulture or a cultural appropriating, or do y'all see like that as an appreciation?
I think that there's been a few times where I felt like, okay, all right, boy, you going a little too far, man.
Yeah.
But for the overwhelming majority of his music and his career, I think that he's just a white R&B artist.
Me too. I think so too.
I don't think that he's appropriating anything. I think it might be similar to like a Ariana and a Christina, but just like on a billion, to where it's like all he do is R&B. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. Like, nobody is saying that y'all can't do the music. It's a taste. And I feel like he has taste. And I feel like he's always show homage to the people that came before him. I feel like that he's always collaborated with black artists. I think that he's always shown up for our community. And I think that he's aware that he makes music for a lot of us, mostly us.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't say that I see him as a culture vulture, but I definitely do see him as a white man who be making that black music.
Right.
And you get privilege off of that.
Yeah.
But I think, like, he knows that.
I feel like there's no disrespect from him, from his end. And another one is John B. Y'all just enlightened me with John B. I didn't know he was just white. I thought he was mixed with something. He's just white. Like, he's only white.
Yeah, John B is definitely only white. But John B, I think he's just like a
black. Wait, y'all, they saying he of mixed heritage.
Mixed with what?
Mixed with what? I knew. I
Child. Oh, this is going to sound so ignorant, but he's white with Dutch and Jewish roots.
All right. So I'm thinking you're going to say.
Clock out.
I'm thinking you're going to say he got some percentage of black in him.
I had to keep reading, girl. I didn't know because I was looking at this picture and he ain't look just white.
Cool.
I think John B. is another one, like you said, Robin Thicke. I think he's just heavily influenced by black culture because he been making that music. And also, I think people, you can hear in his sound that he's very influenced in that his music is good. He's not trying to pivot. He's been doing that since, what, the 90s? John B., I feel like, is one who I feel like is appreciative of the culture. And people constantly bring up him saying the song with Gunna and Chloe was ghetto. And I guess people are offended that he was calling black people ghetto.
But it's like, at the end of the day, if you listen to both of those songs, You and Me and the song by John B. that they sampled, it's completely different. Like, you got Gunna and Chloe Bailey talking about having sexual relations, and then you got John B. talking about love.
Love, yeah.
Like, I hate to say it, but that is ghetto, and that is raunchy, and I would be mad. I would be so mad if y'all took my song and turned it into something that it was never supposed to be.
Exactly.
But also, when I'm doing my research, There was a controversy from 2015, and he was in an interview, and they were asking John B. what type of girls he liked, and this man said he liked black ghetto girls.
I did
black,
hear that, actually.
Black ghetto hood girls. That's his type. He liked black ghetto hood girls.
Well, he can like that. But at the end of the day, I'm going to still be mad if you take my song and turn it into some raunchy mess. Yes.
If you like black ghetto hood girls, why you can't get a black ghetto hood song off
but
of
he
yours?
And he married. She must be a black ghetto hood he married. Girl.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. If I was his wife, I'd be mad about that. Because what you trying to say, boy?
What you trying to say, boy?
He is married to a black queen. And is she a black ghetto hood girl? Because then you can't say nothing because maybe that
her name is Danette Jackson.
She looks like Estelle.
I see it.
I think people just don't like his word choice of the word ghetto and hood.
Understandable.
I don't want no white person calling me ghetto and hood.
No, I agree. I agree that maybe that's not the right word choice, but I feel like that don't discredit his. Like, I don't think that makes him a culture vulture.
I don't think it makes him a culture vulture, but I do think it makes him ignorant.
Yeah. Okay.
And I don't know. Appreciate that as a white man and as somebody, like we said, we don't think you're a culture of appropriating. We think that you're very, you know, deep into the black culture, and as a white man who's deep into the black culture, you should know not to call black people ghetto.
That's real.
And I'm gonna have to stand on that.
Ignorant was a good word to use.
Yeah,
sure.
I think that was very ignorant. I think that you've been saying ignorant stuff for a long time now, because that was 2015, and then Chloe and Gunna song was what, 2024, 23?
Something
so
like that.
It's like you've been calling us ghetto for a long time, ain't it?
And he from the 90s, so it's probably like deep in his vocabulary. Girl. Like he's not even thinking. But yeah, I feel like that's like another Post Malone to me. Now I'm finna pivot to another person. Post Malone, he in there with Miley Cyrus. The pivot was crazy.
The pivot was insane.
Because Post Malone had the cornrows. Like, you had the cornrows in your head. You was talking about some White Iverson.
Like, you called yourself the White Iverson. Like, Allen Iverson.
Yes.
Black Allen Iverson. 76ers player Allen Iverson. Mm-hmm. Really?
Insane.
And now
put
you're
the
doing
corn
country.
Rolls in your head too. And now, like you said earlier, he got his boots on the ground.
He got his boots on the ground. Bad.
I'm not gonna lie, White Iverson 8. And what's the other song? Congratulations. That was another one. I don't know if that was still in that little era.
I'm 1,000% it was.
Yeah. The song's A. I'm sorry, people be a little chewing
the song's
little,
A. They be chewing their black era, but like, it's the fact that you had a black era and then you go and have like the nastiest soap wash, whitewash, boring era after it.
Yeah.
It just be blowing me. Like, I lose respect. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I do lose respect. I, as much as I don't agree with how Jack Harlow said it, I agree with his sentiment. Like,
yeah,
y'all be dipping y'all hands into the black culture and then go wash y'all hands of it and then go make y'all money elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And I don't like that. Like, you doing it for some street cred to get a little bit of respect and show the people you edgy and then go get the money with the white folks.
And people also know that black people are major consumers of music. So they do it intentionally. And I think the thing with Post Malone is he was literally getting on interviews with like The Breakfast Club, Hot 97, defending his music as if that was something he was going to do forever or for a long time or for long term, that he was really influenced by. And especially now, even like the people he hangs around, it's all country artists. It's not like he fully got rid of that as if it was like a jacket or something. And I feel like with white people dipping into black, not even just music, but black culture in general, they see it as something they can take off. And I think that's why people were upset with the I Got Blacker statement, because a lot of us, we can't change the fact that we're black. So you choosing to say something like, oh, I got blacker, or put on blackness when you want to, it's kind of, I can see why people are offended by that.
That's a great point, because because we can't get blacker. We are black, literally.
And if we were to go, if we were to get blacker, that for some of us would be seen. Well, we would start dipping into like kind of being a caricature, or we'd be seen as ghetto in this. But when y'all do it, it's he invited to the cookout.
Yeah,
you know,
he ate that.
Yeah.
Or imagine if we move into the suburbs and be like, yeah, I got whiter.
No, right.
Like, come you like, do you hear how crazy that sounds? It sounds insane.
Like, it's very ignorant. Like, ain't no way I'm finna start a country music phase and be like, yeah, y'all, I done got whiter.
Yeah.
I done got whiter.
And I'm telling y'all, like, watching the Beyonce Bowl and seeing him, like, after all those years, because I haven't been worried about no Post Malone. Like, that was my first time seeing him in a while.
Yeah, same.
I said, I know that ain't, it can't be.
No, I was very
confused. Sure was. It sure was Post Malone. I was flabbergasted, actually, but okay.
Yeah, I don't understand that at all. I mean, although we will say country is a black, even though, you know, that's been overshadowed because when Beyonce tried to do the country and they were saying
it was a problem.
Yeah, it was a problem, and then it's not country. And it wasn't even just Beyonce. Who else? Oh, remember when Lil Nas X did Old Town Road and people were like, that's not country? So I feel like it is a black genre, regardless of people. It came from us, whether you want to say it or not. But I think a lot of people dip into country after doing rap. Because low-key, that transition isn't crazy. Because country's a lot of talking, a lot of like, you know, words, poetic words sometimes. So I feel like it's not a big jump, but it's the fact that y'all completely erased the fact that you ever did this whole black era. I think that's the issue.
And it's also unfair that they can jump into our genre.
And we can't jump into
that. And we can't jump into theirs.
Yeah.
Baby, they gatekeep they stuff bad. And we don't gatekeep.
Time is not they stuff.
It's not
they stuff. It's never been your stuff. Rock has never been yours. Country has never been yours. Rap has never been yours.
Pop.
Barely even pop.
Not barely. Pop has never been yours.
It kills me because y'all really don't know y'all history.
At all.
And y'all don't care to know the history because ignorance is bliss.
And you don't have to know your history when you barely have culture.
Right. And also I think with black culture always becomes everybody's culture for some reason.
Because black Americans don't have culture, according to everybody else.
Exactly. Whole time we created the whole culture. The culture y'all got, we created the whole
culture
team.
Wouldn't even be a word had it not been for us.
Exactly.
It's just so interesting when you think of like the Christopher Columbus of it all. Like, you wander your way into somebody else's territory and then tell everybody else they got to get out and nobody else can come in unless you let them in.
I feel like the country scene is the biggest example
of
that.
It's the biggest example.
The biggest. Because they genuinely get mad. Like, I've seen red carpet interviews of country artists. I don't even know who you are. And they'd be like, oh, do you think Beyonce's a country? I personally don't see it as country. What's not country about it?
And the fact that they had to create an entire other
new category for country.
So that never happens again.
And then they were mad at her. They were mad about her performance at the Country Music Awards. I forget what year that was.
Yes, I remember.
They were mad.
They were so mad. They said she was ghetto and she was blacking it up and she was making it something that it wasn't supposed to be.
Be for real.
Probably the best performance they've ever had on
exactly.
their stage.
But that's why I feel like people gatekeep, because they know that if we get into that genre, you're cooked.
The
you're done for. It's the intimidation. And I feel like leaving us out of genres like that is because like all the country songs that have been released by black people, like,
they do well. Made,
they do really, really
they
well.
Do.
Like with Old Town Road, that's why they're mad. We don't want you. The only person they've accepted is Shaboozy, and they barely.
And we know why they accepted Shaboozy.
I've
heard Shaboozy got on that stage. Hold on. Give me a second.
Because I have noticed that they've accepted Shaboozy with open arms. And I was like, what is he doing differently that everyone else isn't?
It was at the Grammys.
Uh-oh.
He said, immigrants built this country, and people felt like he overlooked the role of black people in the United States. And mind you, this was during Black History Month.
Oh.
And he had to come out with a statement to say, I know and believe that black people have also built this country, but it was a thing where it's like, only immigrants built this country.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, well, when a black person says that, you cool with me? Like, I'm very confused. There's a specific group of people who accepted this, and now they're cool with that, because now the black people are mad at him. That's what I take it as. Black people don't mess with you no more. Cool.
And now it makes you one of the good ones.
Oh.
That is what I hate. One of the good ones. What makes me one of the good ones? What is a good black person? What is a good black American?
Somebody who don't fit in with the rest of the blacks.
Yeah. And who don't advocate for their community
who
either.
Who don't advocate, who don't care, who is trying to mold themselves into a more palatable way of living for white folks.
They were so mad when he was on that center stage performing with Miles Caton. They were so mad.
Oh! I forgot! I look. No, I'm gonna start tweaking because when I tell you I was watching that performance and I was so confused. It was like when that one girl was at Bad Bunny. Stop throwing people on stage who don't want to be on there. I'm here to see Miles Kane. I'm here to see, you know, everybody else. I'm not here to see Shaboozy. Stop trying to do a little remix when it comes to the Oscars. I'm not hearing that noise. I don't like that.
Bow.
I just.
Especially because you don't have no correlation to Sanders, no shade.
None. So, like, literally, I really want to know what the thought process was behind putting him on that stage.
Because, you know, the white people are going to be okay with him being on the stage, and it might keep them watching.
He didn't add anything, though. You're ruining
the
song.
He said one line. I kid you not, one line.
Hey, girl, I'm just telling you what they thinking and why they threw him on that stage, because he was going to get the viewership up. Because,
and also, Shaboozy, low-key, I feel like I'm not finna hate on Shaboozy, because I really don't know that much about him. Like, I'm not...
The music I've heard from him is good, actually.
I've only heard the one song. Samba Poor... I only heard that one, so I don't know the other ones, but I'm not going to keep talking about him that, like, bad about him, because I don't know that much about him. But I do feel like they're trying to push him back into that whole conversation of one of the good ones. They're trying to push him as the one that y'all need to be listened to. We need to be listening to him.
Like a black industry plant?
Yes, and I don't want to hear that noise. I'm so sorry. Y'all throwing him on that stage with Miles Kane, that blew me overly, actually. But I will say that performance ate, and I love Sanders.
Okay, so somebody else that I want to bring up, because I don't have that much to say, but I know that y'all, as black girls who grew up in the 2000s, will have a lot to say about this. Your boy Bieber.
Oh, I can't believe we haven't spoken about him.
I completely forgot.
I can't believe we haven't spoken about him.
His light skin era ate.
It did.
Is it a light skin era or is it a light skin life? Like, I think...
He's not light skin. I don't know if he's still doing it, though.
Yes, he is. Like,
low key.
Really? He's so hood.
Swag. Like, the album that he just put out is literally called Swag.
Like, Justin Bieber is so good.
He did do that.
He's so cultural appropriating. He's somebody who I feel like jumps in and out of his blackness over and over again.
I agree, because
and I kind of don't like it.
He definitely didn't start out that way. Like, he was just a young Canadian boy who could play the guitar on YouTube, and you know, his debut album was cool, and then you had Believe, I believe was his next album.
My World, then the Christmas album.
He ate with that Christmas album.
So basically, okay, Believe was in 2012. I think that's where he started to say, let me play around with some new stuff, because he had Big Sean featured, he had Ludacris featured,
yeah,
Drake featured, Nicki Minaj. But I will say, man started out, his first big song was Baby with Ludacris, though.
Yeah, I was just about to say, and Never Say Never with Jaden.
And he was close with Usher.
Yeah.
I will say that he's always had a lot of black influence, especially as a kid.
Definitely.
Like, everybody that you're working with from the time that you're like, what, 12 is black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and all the people that have really put stock into you and your career and your future are black. So I will give him some credit. Like, he's always showed homage to the people who he's come after and the people who helped him get to where he's at. He's always been ingrained in that culture since he's been in the industry at a very early age. But I also just don't really like the fact that he be going in and out.
Low key, the more I'm thinking about it, is he really going in and out? Because I feel like he really going into the other genres, like bouncing into those more than he's bouncing into R&B and rap. Because he definitely do R&B rap. Like, the more I'm thinking about his music, he's been doing it predominantly, actually. He's actually mostly does that. Only song I've really heard from him where he's doing something different is Yukon, and then that one album where he was doing, like, kind of like Diplo type, like,
that was purpose.
DJ music,
purpose. Like, what do you mean?
I
get that. Okay. It's definitely reversed for him.
Yeah.
He definitely dips in and out of the, you know, what's seen as safe for white folks, rather than dipping into the black stuff and, you know, coming out.
Okay. So,
and that's actually a really, I don't want to say strange perspective,
but
it is a little odd.
It's very interesting.
It is.
It's very interesting. I don't think anybody else that we've named so far has that same, I don't want to say that it's a strategy, but just that same, like, pattern of work.
Yeah, like, for everyone else, I feel like they're doing R&B and rap to be different, whereas he's doing DJ and them little, like, Yukon. I don't know what genre that is. I really don't.
I love Yukon. That's my
Yukon
song.
Yukon is a good song. I feel like with the artists that we talked about before, they, like, switch up. Like, it's like one and then the other.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we talked about John B and Robin Thicke, they've always been on the R&B side.
Yeah.
Or when we talked about Ariana and Christina, they've always towed the line in between the two.
But this man put them together on the same album.
I low-key have to respect it. I do think there's been times in his personal life where he's gotten a little too comfortable, though.
Oh, definitely. Came out the gate, one less lonely, hard ER.
Hard ER.
Definitely comfortable.
I forgot about that.
Definitely comfortable, for sure.
Too comfortable. And at the end of the day, you're white. white.
It's even crazier to me because he's saying that and he's influenced by all these black people. So I'm like, dude, were black people in the room when he was saying this?
I think at that time, I don't think so, because if I recall, One Leslie Lee Girl came out 2009 he was working with Usher in 2009, so never mind.
Ciao.
And he used to love that ER. He did, because that wasn't his only time. Didn't he make like a joke? It was like, run.
Yes.
That joke too.
The chainsaw joke.
Yeah. So I was like, maybe was it too comfortable? Because I don't even imagine that you're around black people and you're white and the ER is coming out. I understand a little A. Nah, I understand it. Let me backtrack. I don't understand it. But it's like, that makes more sense. You're saying ER. What black person is going, who's laughing at this?
Who's going up for that?
Who's going for that?
Yeah, and they really did try to erase that video, but baby.
No, I see it.
It's going to be all over the internet. Every time Justin do something wrong, every time Justin open that mouth.
Yeah.
I see that video on Twitter. Every time.
Every time, not going to lie.
They never miss.
No, that's it.
But like I said, that's a strange strategy. I don't want to say strange, but it's interesting. It really is interesting to me, because Purpose was like a very, I would say he's a very versatile artist.
Yeah.
Justin Bieber is very versatile. He's, honestly, I think he's a great vocalist.
Same.
Wow. Period, Justin. Wow.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I like all his music. I like his R&B rap. I be calling it a light-skinned era, but it really ain't really no era, because
it's a light-skinned
lifestyle. It's a generation.
It's a light-skinned lifestyle.
Yeah.
Okay, last person that I want to bring up is that Macklemore guy from like 2013. Do y'all remember him?
Yes.
I'm gonna pop some tags.
Only got $20 in my pocket.
That fur coat.
That's all I think about when I think about him, is a big fur coat. He apparently swept the rap category at the Grammys one year.
56th annual Grammy Awards in 2014, to be exact.
Like, what? Over one of Kendrick's like best albums, I think.
Over Kendrick Lamar's Good Kid, Mad City. And if you know anything about rap or anything about Kendrick, that album in itself is straight storytelling. Beautiful body of work. Damn near a masterpiece.
And
y'all gave it to Macklemore. A one-hit wonder.
I was just about to say, because Macklemore, what does he make music now? Do people still listen to Macklemore? I don't. Him sweeping.
Well, he has 30.2 million monthly listeners on Spotify.
I don't trust Spotify numbers. I can't.
They're all listening to Thrift Shop, because the song did eat. I won't lie. And Thrift Shop do be in a lot of like throwback 2000s playlists. So I feel like maybe the numbers aren't lying. But for him to sweep, that's another thing. I feel like whenever white people do black genres, they get more praise than black people doing their own genre. 1,000%. You know what I mean?
And it bothers me. Like, I don't understand. Like, when Jada told me that he swept
is crazy.
The rap category at the Grammys?
Like, why are we applauding?
And I only know one song by this man.
Right. Why are we applauding a fish swimming in water?
Mediocre white man.
White people get a pass for anything. Like, and I know this isn't somebody who blackfishes, but Taylor Swift is one of those people who really do it for me. This is the most mediocre mid person ever. She can't dance. She's a terrible performer. Yeah. The music isn't that good.
She can barely sing.
It sucks.
And they be trying to rival her with Beyonce.
Beyonce.
What are we talking about right now?
I don't get it.
This isn't a 6-7 situation, I fear. This is a Beyonce is freaking 100, and this girl is at negative 10.
Exactly. And also, objectively, Beyonce dances. Beyonce's a performer. Beyonce has experience.
Beyonce has been in the game longer than Taylor has been alive, I think.
I don't know how old she is.
I don't know. Well, she might be old.
An unpopular opinion, though, I believe that if Taylor Swift... backstory. If you know anything about Taylor Swift, I think everybody should know that she did start off doing country. She started off doing country.
She did.
And now she's a pop star. But what I will say is...
She's 36? Okay, no. She hasn't been... Okay, Beyonce wasn't... Okay.
Maybe she's young.
She started off doing country, and she was a girl from Reading, Pennsylvania.
Oh, you know your facts.
Because I'm from PA.
Oh.
But you're from Reading, Pennsylvania, doing country music. And then when you see that wasn't working, or not even that it wasn't working, but you wanted to try something else and go more poppy, that's what you did, and you flourished. But unpopular opinion, I really do believe she should have stayed in that country bag. Her music was so much better then. It had more substance. It was better produced.
Yeah.
And now we just have these flat songs about the guys that you've been rotating.
And they don't like when you say that.
Because
they don't like when you say that.
She's the only one who can date around.
Exactly. That's another good point.
The only
That's
one.
Another good point. Because anytime anybody say anything, people just be saying, oh, she's had a lot of boyfriends. Oh, no, you can't be saying that.
I was going to start a Taylor Swift hate train. And then
I'm always going to be on that train.
She won a Grammy and Beyonce was like congratulating her and calling her little sister. And I was like, okay, I'll lay off of her then. I honestly can't even speak on her music because I don't listen to it. I can only go off of what people have told me, and it's everything that Jada's saying.
I will say, when I was younger, never getting back together, 22, that went platinum in my house. It did.
Those are some good songs. Or I don't know if this is like country or whatever, but the song She Wears Sunshine.
Oh yes,
I wear t-shirts.
And you know
what's the name of that song?
You Belong With Me, I believe.
I used to turn it up when I was a little kid.
And fun fact, I just learned a story on that, or I've seen a theory. And you know, Miley and Taylor Swift used to be close.
Really?
They did. And I seen this theory that the guy who's in the music video, who was also in the Hannah Montana movie.
Yeah.
Him and Miley had a thing.
Ooh.
He's in the music video. And if you know the music video, you have Taylor as herself, the blonde version. And then you have a brunette who's mean. And you're stealing this girl's boyfriend.
So
in this
when
music
she
video.
Said she wears short skirts, she was talking about Miley.
Yes.
Oh. Gag.
Essentially, yes. That's the theory I saw.
That's Tiffany.
And the more I dove into it, the more I realized, dang, why aren't y'all clothes no more? What's that about? And knowing how she is, she gives male-centered anyways. So
a lot of her songs do be about men.
They do.
All of them.
Yeah.
They do.
Except for 22.
So I just wanted to bring that up. That was a little fun fact that I learned the other day. And I couldn't get it out of my head.
That's actually crazy. I've never heard that, but that would
I didn't know they were even
sense.
Close to the beginning.
I didn't know.
She was in the Hannah Montana movie and everything. They were very close.
T for me.
That is T for me.
So let's go ahead and get into our weekly playlist question. So what song feels like a true celebration of Black culture and not just an imitation?
So for me, I already brought this artist up like 1,010 times. It's Christina Xtina. Her and Pink, though, did Lady Marmalade at the beginning of the turn of the century or whatever. And that song went up. It was amazing. It's a remake of Patti LaBelle and the LaBelle song, Lady Marmalade. And I think it was an amazing rendition. It also features Lil' Kim and Maya. But they've also performed the song with Patti LaBelle a bunch of times. So I think for me, like, that was one of the first songs that came up to me. Like, oh, what song by white artists pays homage to Black sounds and Black culture? And I think that's an amazing one.
Okay. Mine is They Don't Know by John B. I'm sorry, y'all thought he was Black, so you cannot say that that's not one. And also, I feel like when you listen to that era of music, especially with men doing R&B, it flows in so seamlessly. Like, you wouldn't even peep that he was, you know, white. So I feel like he got it. I'm sorry, he did.
Low key.
It's a Black classic.
I want to go back on something that I've already know I've mentioned in past episodes. Pop music was R&B in the 90s. Like, now, pop music is pop music and R&B is R&B. But in the 90s, everybody was doing very, like, there's such a blurred line between the deep R&B and the pop R&B when you think about it in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also something where it's like, it was actually harder for artists to culture vulture back in the day because our sound was the sound.
This is, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
now that you
move on.
Yeah, but now that you say that, we didn't even bring up the biggest person. Ooh. I'm so aggravated right now. Timberlake.
I was just thinking that when I was
Timberlake. But it's fine because I'm going to answer the weekly playlist question. And I'm going to say a true celebration of Black culture and not just an imitation. I'm going to say Stay With Me by Sam Smith.
Okay.
I do believe that song is very gospel inspired. And I feel like he himself has openly credited Black musical traditions behind his sound. So I will say Stay With Me by Sam Smith. Now back to Timberlake. That is one, I don't want to say black fishing.
It is.
Okay. That is one culture vulture man.
Let's talk about how he only.
Janet?
The Janet thing. I was going to get into that, but the one that is even more prevalent is that he only started to emulate Michael Jackson after he passed.
Absolutely.
And I think that that's really nasty to me. Like, beforehand, he was just doing his own thing, Cry Me a River, yeah.
And now we got Love Never Felt So Good featuring Michael Jackson.
Okay.
But on that topic, because we usually do two songs for our weekly playlist, my blackfishing guilty pleasure is definitely a Justin Timberlake song.
Okay.
And I'm gonna have to say Suit and Tie. Like,
no, it choose
that
it choose.
Him and Jay-Z on that track. I'm not gonna lie, him and Jay-Z was low-key a cool duo for
that
the two songs
cool
or however
duo.
Many songs that they did, but Suit and Tie is one of them ones.
Whenever I'm putting on my Suit and Tie, I literally, it plays in my head, I be on my suit and tie.
I don't even put on Suit and Tie, and I just be putting on a shirt, and I'm like, yeah. Yes, my suit and tie is on. Yes, it is.
But what about y'all's? What are y'all blackfishing guilty pleasures?
So mine, the other king, my king, JK. But no, for real, my guy, Robin Thicke, he comes through with the bangers. But the one that felt like the most appropriation in his whole discography was definitely Blurred Lines.
I know you want it.
Like Blurred Lines. It's like
he was blurring them lines.
He was blurring the lines. It's so much controversy behind that song. It's so much ratchetness behind that song.
So much.
But at the end of the day, it's a good song.
It is. I'll give it to you.
Mine is 23 by Miley Cyrus, because for me, it's blackfishing to the ultimate level. That is probably the number one blackfishing song. And she chewed. I'm not going to lie. That song went platinum again in my house in about 2000. I don't know, year 2011. Like that song eats. And I'm not going to lie. She was in her J's.
It's not one that I revisit often, I will say. Mm-hmm. But I will say it's very catchy.
It is.
Put on my J's and
it's
that part.
Yes,
that's the one.
She ate that song up.
She did.
Well, that's it for today's episode of Remix and Rewind. Today we got into the Jack Harlow conversation and used it as a way to discuss the idea of culture vultures.
We really broke down the line between appreciation and inspiration versus when it starts to feel like black culture is being used for social gain. Now, we want to know what you guys think. Which songs in your playlist feel like appreciation and which ones are giving culture vulture? Tap in with us on Instagram at @RemixNRewind and let us know what you guys think.
Hopefully, we inspire you to take a deeper listen to the music you already love or maybe discover some new favorites along the way. And that was Remix and Rewind. Remix and Rewind is produced in the studio of WANM-FM 90.5 School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University.